Good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers and grandmothers in our assembly this morning. We honor you and thank God for you. In fact, I want to begin with a reading from Proverbs 31. A virtuous woman opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And that certainly sounds like a godly mother, doesn't it? So happy Mother's Day. John Maxwell has collected some notes from children written to their moms from past Mother's Day. I want to share some of these notes. One is from Angie, 8 years old. Dear Mother, I'm going to make a dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn. Robert, age 8. I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle I got you this year for Mother's Day better than the snake that I got you last year. I'm sure she would. Eileen, 9 years old. Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so we didn't have to go to school. And my favorite from Carol, 8 years old. Dear Mother, here are two aspirins. Happy Mother's Day. But no one can argue, no one can deny the fact that no other person in the world has as much influence on a child as does a mother. Abraham Lincoln, all that I am or can be, I owe to my angel mother. John Gray said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Napoleon Bonaparte said, let France have good mothers and she will have good sons. And I love this Spanish proverb, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Mothers have a powerful influence, and that's why we join our nation in honoring our mothers. We want to honor our mothers, but also learn from them. And we learn from them what real love is. So we continue with our study of 1 Corinthians 13. But I want to jump to the last two verses of this definition that's found there. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And I want to suggest to you this morning that mothers are prime examples of what those verses mean. This morning, we're initiating a 6-week study that we're inviting every one of you to participate in. Beginning this morning, Mother's Day, through the last day of the week of Father's Day, 6-week study. We're entitling it Scriptural Principles for a Christ-Centered Family. And at the Welcome Center, there are 100 booklets that have been prepared, composed of Ricky's articles dealing with subjects concerning the family, one subject per week for those 6 weeks, broken down like this. Week 1, Godly Mothers. There's an article for every day of this week that has to do with motherhood and parenting. Week 2, parenting, launching the arrows to coincide with several of our seniors graduating. And thinking along the lines of launching our arrows into the future. Week 3, Christ-centered marriages. Week 4, strengthening the family in love. And then followed by another week, Lord willing, of strengthening the family by studying characteristics of strong families. Concluding with that Father's Day Sunday and a week's worth of study about godly fathers. So please pick up a packet, a little booklet. We'd love for everyone to participate. We'd love to have to make more booklets. Appreciate Peggy putting most of those together. We want to supplement it by Sunday morning sermons, but also daily emails with some thought questions, with some things you might can talk about with your family about the next day's material. That means I'll be sending you an email today about tomorrow's material. So if you've helped to raise a family and would like to help mentor younger families, if you're raising a family and want some things, some tools to help make it a stronger family, or if you hope to have a family one day, then we encourage you to participate in this study. But let's begin by focusing again on godly mothers and what they teach us about real God-like love. Love never fails to care. Love never fails to care. In the passage that Glenn read for us earlier, it's about the occasion when Jesus, at age 12, accompanied his mother and father to Jerusalem for a feast. And they had done so and were returning home. Joseph and Mary, however, did not know that Jesus had stayed behind. And so after a period of time, they couldn't find him and began frantically looking for him, as parents would do, right? And so they finally find him in the temple talking with the scribes. And they were astonished at his understanding in the scriptures. And can't you hear Mary as she comes to Jesus and says, "Why have you done this to us?" That's verse 48 of Luke chapter 2. "Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And I know you mothers can really identify with that. What have you been doing? Where have you been? But then Jesus gave that famous answer. "Do you not realize, do you not know that I must be about my father's," speaking of his heavenly father's, "business?" But there's one thing that's undeniable here, and that Jesus' mother continued to care for him. And she showed that concern that godly mothers do, wanting to know where is my child? Is he okay? And going to great lengths. And I'm sure that time spent searching for him seemed like weeks as opposed to hours. The love of a godly mother never fails to care. Read an article by Dan Williams recently entitled "The Mama Test." The Mama Test. In it, he references Aaron's. You've probably seen the commercials. It's a company that rents furniture, televisions, computers, even appliances. I'm not endorsing Aaron's. They're not paying me a royalty for mentioning this. But it has to do with one of their policies that they use. Because they're a rental company, they have to do credit checks, and they often rent to clients who don't have a pristine credit rating. But they do ask for 3 personal references, and most of them that come in to rent something reference their mother. The mama test, thinking that my mama is certainly going to give me an endorsement here, a good personal reference. But what they have found is that if that renter has had some difficulty, like being without a job or doesn't pay his bills, that renter's mother is going to blow the whistle on him, because she doesn't want to see her son, her daughter, get into further trouble. David Epright, and Aaron's regional manager, explains, 9 times out of 10, a mother will tell you the truth. "I had a mother tell me her son just got out of jail and didn't have a job yet, so we better not rent to him." The mama test. That makes sense, doesn't it? From the very beginning of life, mothers experience a fierce maternal instinct to protect their babies, to promote their well-being. No responsible mother willingly allows her child to get into more financial or moral trouble. Solomon has the mama test. You may not call it that, but let me remind you of a few proverbs. Proverbs 23:25. "May your father and your mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." 10:1. "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." 1:8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." And I propose to you that these passages make a sort of mama test. If we think about these passages, if we think about the lessons that our godly mothers and grandmothers have taught us, here's some questions that'll help us apply the mama test. Does this action run counter to the good advice my mother has given me in the past? Would she be ashamed to discover that I had taken this step? Could this behavior lead to personal consequences that would break my mama's heart? That's a pretty good test, isn't it? Because our mamas, godly mothers, want what's best for their children. Love never fails to care. And godly mothers demonstrate that day in and day out. Love never fails to keep on loving. Consider Mary, the mother of Jesus, again. This time at the cross. In John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. What a marvelous thing to envision Jesus hanging on the cross for our sins in agony. But yet, even in that horrific experience, he's concerned about his mother, the well-being of his mother. But don't miss this either, that as her son is hanging on the cross, she is right there as well. Love never fails to keep on loving. I want to tell you about a book. My family is agonizing already. It's Love You Forever. It's one of my favorite books. And I'm going to read this child's book to you because I think it has a tremendous message for all of us as it demonstrates how love never fails. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old. And he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator. And he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, "This kid is driving me crazy." But at nighttime, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old. And he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath, and when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at night, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends, he wore strange clothes, and he listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." That teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. And he left home and got a house across town. But sometimes on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed. And if that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. And one day she called up her son and said, "You'd better come see me because I'm very old and sick." So her son came to see her, and when he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always." But she couldn't finish. She was too old and sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up and rocked her. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang this song, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be." When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The love of a godly mother keeps on loving. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It's made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving while all others are forsaking. It never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender, guiding hand. Pat Smith shared with me an article by Dennis Swindle, who preached at Sage Avenue. "After 58 plus years, I need my mom," he writes. I want to share with you some excerpts from his article. "While I was growing up, I knew that I desperately needed my mother. She served my siblings and me in many capacities, including cook, launderer, chauffeur, counselor, confidant, dispute mediator, teacher, and drill sergeant. Despite the fact that she typically worked long, arduous afternoons outside the home, she invariably found the time and energy to provide needed attention and love. I often thought I was the luckiest kid in the world to have a mom as thoughtful, smart, and beautiful as my own, and I was right. By the time I reached my teenage years, I was not as dependent upon my mother, but I still realized the critical role she played in my life. Along with the extended chauffeur duties, she provided spiritual guidance and Christian example. Although I didn't always behave in accordance with her will, I loved her deeply and intensely needed her presence, approval, prayers, and support. After going off to college and eventually getting married, I mistakenly believed that all my need for my mother was nominal. After all, I had a life, a wife, and work of my own. However, every time I returned home to see Mom, I knew that I desperately needed her. No matter how demanding, hectic, and stressful my life was at any given time, I always experienced a feeling of peace whenever I was near her. Somehow I felt like a little boy again, safe and secure, in the presence of someone I loved and admired as much as anyone on earth. Although Mom has recently suffered some significant health setbacks, I'm amazed at how much I still need her. Even when I'm administering nourishment, medications, or water through the tube leading into her stomach, I need her. With God's help, Mom will eventually be able to eat again and will no longer depend on others to assist her in doing so. Regardless, I'll still need her. Her prayers, smile, love, support, and approval. And even when she goes on to be with the Lord, I will need her. Please notice this last statement, which is one of the biggest reasons I intend to remain a faithful Christian to my dying day. Folks, that's the power of a godly mother whose love never fails. It's those godly mothers that really teach us about God's love for us. Sacrificial, giving, but everlasting. God said through Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Love never fails. God hasn't failed to provide a remedy for our number one problem. And it required the gift of his son Jesus to give his life so that you and I might become his children. If you desire to accept that gift on his terms this morning, and being baptized into Christ as one who believes in him, trusts him, and has turned from sins, we hope and pray that you'll do so. But if you've wandered away, remember, God's love never fails. He's eager to welcome you back home if you'll just come to him. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, please come right now as we stand and sing.